Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 27th day of August, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is kind words. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Speaking of Paleo Hebrew, hello to my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Prinhanda Cumriambeth. And I know I don't pronounce everything exactly right, so I apologize for that. But Yakida, which is cheers or good health, also in Welsh. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Pastordan.net. And we do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page there, because that's where we put the most current updates and links for information, whether it's about prepping, firearms, news items, you name it, it's all there. The home page at that website is where you find information about helping us out financially, if you feel led to do so. We also have a page called Contact Us there. If you do not have my personal phone or email information, you can use that. There's an old adage that says, do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try. And I can relate to that, because in my youth, I was very self-conscious and shy, believe it or not. And many times I'd be afraid to try things, for fear of failure, for fear of ridicule, and not my parents not being proud of me. I look back at that, and it's a shame, because it's probably I would even know more than I do today if I had started out with the idea that I'm not afraid to try, because we're not perfect. It's in the trying that we learn, and many times you learn the most from the mistakes you make anyway. All right, so mistakes are not a negative thing at all times. A lot of times they give us incentive to try harder and to learn more. So as this old adage says, do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try. You got to try. We got to keep going. And when life knocks you down, you just dust yourself off, get right back up, and keep right on going. The other adage that we'd like to talk about is, life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. I know, work, that's a dirty word in our culture today, but hard work is a good thing. It's good for the body, good for the soul. I am so happy that my mom and dad were strict disciplinarians, and they believed in children learning how to work as soon as you were able to safely do it. As soon as I could safely handle a lawnmower, mowing the grass was my job. And eventually I mowed neighbors' yards to earn a few dollars to get treats when I went into town. Mom and Dad never gave me an allowance. If I wanted to buy a soda pop or candy or any kind of toy, I used my own money. And again, as soon as I was old enough to safely do it, they expected me to do it, whether it was mowing the grass, weeding the garden, planting, and later on driving the tractor and mowing hay and things such as that, putting up fence. Richard Buckminster Fuller. Now, here's the good news. You know, we don't think, because we're a tiny little radio station, and we don't think we have much of an impact, but I got to tell you, I listen to an awful lot of audio and video messaging day in and day out, looking for news items, looking for nuggets of truth out there, and to have my finger on the pulse as to where we're going with all this. And just recently, there was an excellent roundtable discussion going on about the lies of COVID and the monstrosity of these man-made governments that we have today, and they are monstrous. And one of the guys quoted this quote. Now, I'm not saying he got it from us, but isn't it interesting? I've never heard anybody use this quote before, but we here on this broadcast have for years. But Richard Buckminster Fuller said, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." In other words, build it to where the grass is greener on our side of the fence. I grew up on a farm. I know what that saying is all about. Okay? When cattle are in a pasture field, and they see that tender green grass on the other side of the fence, that's when they're the most trouble. They will look for a weak spot in your fence, and if they can get through it or break it, they will do it to get to the greener grass on the other side. Our people are no different than that. In some ways, we are herd cattle. We shouldn't be treated like that, but we do behave like that from time to time. So instead of this obsolete Babylonian Jewish paradigm that we suffer under, why not build a new model, greener grass on the other side of the fence, and give them a choice to get out of this thing? And yes, just like the cows that are in the pasture field, it may not be the easiest thing. We may have to look for a kink in their armor. We may have to look for a loophole, but Yahweh will provide those loopholes. It's your willpower, your desire to get out of this Babylonian system and get onto that greener grass on the other side. That's what he's waiting to see. People say, well, how can there be a God that would allow these things to happen? Yahweh didn't allow these things to happen. We allowed it to happen. Our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents over the last 120 years allowed this to happen. Yahweh didn't have anything to do with it. His Holy Spirit's been trying to wake our sorry asses up for a long time. We've been sound asleep, enjoying the ride. The Jews giving us just enough perks out there to keep us docile in their electronic prison. But for the first time in my lifetime, Israelites are starting to see that the grass isn't so green on this side of the pasture anymore. The greener grass is on the other side. The other side where Yahweh's law is the law of the land. There is no such thing as lawyers and courts that are corrupted by Judaism. The worship of money, the worship of Moloch, the worship of everything but Yahweh himself. We need to come out of that. In fact, Revelation 18:4 is exactly what John the Revelator told us that our Father is looking for. And it says, another voice from heaven came to my ears. Wait a minute. Another voice from heaven came to my ears. Could it be the Holy Spirit talking to John? Saying, come out of her, my people. Who's her? Babylon, this Jewish-run system. Come out of her, my people, so that you may not take part in her sins and in her punishments. The punishments are coming. We're getting close to the end of this earth age. So he doesn't want us to take part in her sins, which are what? Transgression of God's law. This entire society today is a transgression of God's law. In fact, in the 24 years of this radio broadcast, I've been asking, what part of the Bible do we actually uphold today? I have yet, in 24 years, have anybody come back and tell me, oh, here's where we're doing it right, Dan. You're getting all upset for nothing. We actually are pretty righteous people, you know. We're following God's law. Well, no, I've never had anybody do that. Because we're not. We live in a society that is a denigration of Yahweh's law completely. So if we do not want to take part in her punishment, we need to get the hell out of this Babylonian system. Those are some of the things I'm looking into right now. Maybe later on, if I get time today, we'll talk about some of the things I've discovered. I'm working on a system for when the possibility of the grid going down, how communications can still be had relatively cheaply and relatively simply amongst our people anywhere. And it doesn't rely on cell phone towers, and it does not rely on electrical power, not completely anyway. So looking into that, looking into a few other things, there is a platform being developed economically that is parallel to the current Rothschild Jewish banking system. I'm looking into that as well, and I'll keep you abreast of what I find out. Proverbs 25, verse 2 tells us, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing. He likes to conceal things. But the honor of kings and queens, you might say, our ladies, it is the honor of kings that you and me are all his kings, are we not, to search out a matter. So it's his glory to conceal it so that you have to do a little work, a little digging, okay? A lot of people say, well, Dan, I don't know about all that stuff you talk about because I can't find it anywhere. Really? Did you look? You expect it to jump off the screen and land in your lap? Yahweh's truths to just come out of the blue and tap you on the shoulder? No. It's the honor of kings to search out a matter. Again, are you a truth seeker? Are you a lover of truth? Or do you just pay lip service to it, like so many of our people? That's why we're in the trouble we're in. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, does it say the world? Does it say every person with two arms and two legs? No, it's not what it says. If my people, on whom my name is named, make themselves humble and come to me in prayer, searching for me, we just talked about that, and turning from their evil or wicked ways. Okay, so once again, we're going to go through this. This is what we used to call in the business an if-then statement. The if part of the sentence tells you the conditions that must be met. The then part of the sentence tells you what will happen afterwards. So it's almost like computer logic, where you have AND gates and OR gates. So this is an AND gate, if, meaning all these conditions need to be met before the gate is turned on with the then statement. So if my people, on whom my name is named, so not, this doesn't apply to everybody, but if my people will become humble and come to me in prayer. In other words, talk to me, speak to me. I'm here. I'm real time. I'm not buried in documents from 5,000 years ago. Hello. I'm here talking to you right now. Make yourself humble. Take the world and put it over there on a shelf. You're talking to me, is what Yahweh is saying. I am your father. I am your creator. I am also the only person that will stick to you closer than anybody on this earth, closer than a friend, closer than a relative. So make yourself humble or low and come to me in prayer. Otherwise, talk to me, searching for me and turning from your wicked ways. So there are your, quote, if statement conditions, which means all of them have to be satisfied before you get the then part. Does that make sense? I sure hope so. So if my people do all these things, then I will give ear from heaven or on the other side of the firmament, overlooking their transgressions or sins, and will give life again to their land. Our land is dead. We're in a valley of dead and dry bones, spiritually speaking, dead and dry bones. I grabbed this saying here off of Telegram. I personally, my recommendation for people is to use Telegram. I know a lot of people like Twitter and Facebook, and I wouldn't support any of those things. I don't like them. I've been on them before, and I abandoned them right away because, A, just didn't feel right. Number two, I didn't think they were very user-friendly. I didn't think they had enough bells and whistles, so to speak, to make them worth learning how to use. Whereas Telegram, which was recommended years ago as a place for patriots to go, Telegram is very user-friendly. Most of the tools there aid and abet getting information and truth out there, and it's a very versatile program. So again, just my recommendation. Everybody's free to do whatever they feel is right. But I grabbed this off a channel there called Rabble Rouser, and he's put some pretty good stuff up over the years. Any act, and we're talking about our politicians here, the people that we have allowed to be public servants, any act which dishonors your oath of office, I'm going to tell you that oath of office is extremely important. Any act which dishonors your oath of office immediately and irrevocably vacates that office and destroys your immunity from prosecution. You know, you always hear that, well, because somebody's got a certain office or position in government, they're, quote, immune from prosecution. Where in law, in Yahweh's law, does it say anybody's immune from prosecution? Can somebody point that out to me? I've been looking through scripture for a very long time now. I don't recall ever reading where somebody gets to be immune from prosecution for doing wrong. I don't see where it says murderers are to be executed, unless, of course, they hold this government office or they're wearing a badge or what. I don't read that anywhere. Or they're a lawyer, or they're a kike, or any of this other nonsense. Where does it say that? Okay, maybe I missed it, but I don't read that anywhere. There is no such thing as immunity from prosecution, such as the drug companies are immune from the poisons that they're putting out there. Which, by the way, isn't it interesting? All of the pharmaceutical companies are owned by Jews. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. And it's the Jews within government that say they can be immune. Just like it's the Jews in government that say the bankers, who happen to all be Jews, can be bailed out with our tax dollars while you and I struggle week to week to feed our families and have dependable transportation while they're living in the lap of luxury. I'm sure that's all a mere coincidence. When the government fears the people, we have liberty. When the people fear the government, we have tyranny. I know I've said these quotes before, but I'm going to keep saying until they're ingrained in your brain. They are like a branding iron into your brain that you do not ever forget these, because these are, just like in the Proverbs, these are nuggets of gold, short little sayings that are full of wisdom, such as Henry David Thoreau. There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. That means 1 out of 1,000 is doing it right. 1 out of 1,000 people doing it right. Well, what do you mean, Dan? Well, because why are you worried about the branches of this tree when all you got to do is chop the root? Again, I grew up on a farm. You don't take a tree down by chopping all of its branches off. You take a tree down by going to the trunk and chopping it down there. Then the whole tree comes down. So the root of the evil that pervades this country and this world has the same root, the tree of evil that's pervasive across this world right now, it's the same root. And again, you want to find where the root is? Follow the money. What is the money? The money's like the sap in a tree. What is the sap in a tree? The sap in a tree is like the blood in your body. It's almost like water. It's very, very liquidy, okay? Very fluid. And it runs up through the tree and it goes out to all of it, and it provides nutrients and nourishment, okay? So if you want the branches of this evil to stop, you need to chop the root to stop the sap. And what is the sap in this tree of evil? Currency. Kind of funny, it's called currency. It's a current, like a current of water in a river. So the sap is the current through the tree. Money is the current for this Babylonian system. And if you want the dragon or the beast to die, cut off the currency. Cut off their ability to generate money out of thin air. And it's all digital now. They don't even have to print it. It's digital. And you're all buying into it. It's ludicrous. Ludicrous. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Does it say blessed be those that do? No, it says woe. When the Bible says woe, that means watch out. Who put darkness for light, which means ignorance for knowledge, and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We've said many times on the show, everything today is 180 degrees out of sync, meaning just the opposite of what it should be. Everything is up. Side down. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22, he says here, for my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are foolish children or adolescents. And look at the behavior of most people today. Tell me it's not adolescent. It sure as hell is. And they have no understanding. They are skillful in doing evil, but they do not know how to do good. Does that describe a lot of people? These zombies, I call them, the normies, the zombies. They don't even know how to do good anymore. Unbelievable. So now the topic for today, again, is kind words. Why is that important today? Because we're all under stress. Okay? You've been psychologically tortured for the last 3.5 years. Actually, it goes back further than that, but they've exacerbated it in the last 3 or 3.5 years to where it is in your face. This is outright communist psychological torture. And I know because every single day I'm on the phone or the computer talking or texting with people, communicating with them about what they're feeling, what's going on in their families, what's going on in their neighborhoods. And it is amazing the amount of stress that we have to deal with today. And so I picked that topic, kind words, because Yahweh gives a solution to every problem that there is on this earth. So what is our problem today? Our problem is our people are depressed, anxious, a high level of anxiety. They're fearful. They're fretting. They're absorbed with the negativity and the ugliness that's in this wicked world. And so how do we combat that? When the body becomes toxic, we call it getting sick, but it's actually a toxic body, and your body's trying to get the toxins out, which is exactly what's happening right now. Yahweh's people are trapped in this toxic environment. And when the body is working to get these toxins out of here, you have to give it extra nutrients. You have to give it extra pampering. because it's in a struggle. That's why when the body is polluted with toxins and you get what we call sick, you go home and you lay in bed. You rest. Drink lots of water. Be in a quiet place. Why? Because your body is in a fight. Well, right now, your mind and your soul are in a battle. And so I picked out some verses here that I think will show that one of the ways that our Father gives us to work together as a family, here again, we must remember we are a family. No, we might not live right next to each other right now, but we are connected. And we are a family, a racial family, and a spiritual family. These are the things that kind words. You have no idea the power of a compliment or a kind word, what they have to somebody who's struggling. It's like throwing a life preserver to somebody drowning in the lake. Okay? Many people do just the opposite. They've got harsh words. That's like taking your hand and pushing their head under the water, when what they need is you to give them a hand and bring them up out of the water. That's what kind, merciful words do. And these are the scriptures that verify that. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Gracious or kind words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Does it say angry, mean, vicious words? Harsh words? No, it says gracious words are like honeycomb. Have you ever eaten honeycomb? I have. You're not going to taste anything sweeter than that. And just like honeycomb, it not only is extremely sweet, it is extremely healthy. So the analogy to honeycomb by the writers of Proverbs is perfect, because my background in natural health, that is one of the things we learned about honey and honeycomb. The bees are a gift from our Father. A lot of people, you take everything for granted. You take for granted the very bees that fly around to all these flowers. Do you know how much work it takes to make honey? Do you know how many trips to flowers and back to the hive it takes to make that little bit of honey that you enjoy in your coffee or on your cereal or your pancakes? Are you aware of that? Do you ever think about that? The thousands of bees and the hundreds of trips to a flower, to a tree, to a plant, to get that nectar and bring it back and digest it and turn it into honey. Do you have any concept of the work that those bees are doing? Not only are they making this healthy, nutritious thing called honey and honeycomb, which truly is sweet and health to the body, they're pollinating the very other foods, the other trees and plants that you rely on to live. We take it for granted. They're polluting our air. They're filling electromagnetic waves around here, which is doing harm to the vegetation and the bee population. Do you care? Does anybody care? Does everybody give it a thought? Not many. These monsters that we have allowed to be in charge are destroying this beautiful world. What does Yahweh say he's going to do to those who do harm to this world? Yeah, punishment's coming. When it comes, it will be vicious. And if you don't want to be one who receives punishment, you better separate yourself from Babylon, spiritually and physically, as much as you're able. Because Babylon is going to burn, because it is destroying this world. It is a mockery of the living God. and his sons and daughters, you and me, we are going to be here to be part of it. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Are you paying attention? A soft, gentle answer turns away wrath. You know, we used to have a saying when I was a kid is, kill them with kindness. Do you think maybe they're talking about Proverbs 15, verse 1? Yeah, kill them with kindness. A lot of people say, oh, no, I'm going to get an attitude. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to just give wrath back for wrath. But killing them with kindness actually works. See, instead of them ruining your life and your day and making you stressed out and everything, you just turn it right around on them. Ephesians, New Testament, chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Are you listening? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Uh-oh. You mean I'm not supposed to be condescending and vicious? No, according to Ephesians, certainly not with your family members. Now, there's invaders that have come in here, but they're not part of my family. Most of them deserve a bullet, actually. They're criminals. They're rapists. They're pedophiles. Homosexuals. Carrying disease into my clean land. Yahweh says we don't have to put up with that. All right? This is talking about how we deal with each other in the family. If they're not part of our family, no. They don't get any of these things except our wrath, okay? That's what enemies deserve, our wrath. And if they come upon our territory, our land, to do harm to our families, they deserve whatever they get. And I literally mean whatever they get, they deserve. That's Yahweh's law. That's why a man's land is considered sacred. The threshold to a man's cottage, even in the days of the Middle Ages, a man's threshold to his home was considered sacred. Sacred, even for a serf. You didn't violate the threshold of a man's home unless you expected to get a spear, a sword, or a musket ball. Today, they violate the threshold of a man's home with impunity. Why? Because the men have been sitting back on their ass. What can we do about Dan? They got all the rights. They got all the law on their side. They got badges and they got uniforms. So Satan's kids put on a piece of clothing and hang a hunk of metal on it, and it gives them the right to violate your threshold of your home, your domicile, where you protect your family. It gives them a right to do that. Or a bunch of Jews sit around and put ink on a piece of paper that violates God's law and your rights, and it's okay. Tell me we haven't become that stupid. Tell me we haven't become cowards to the point where we don't realize that the God-given right of self-defense and defending the ones we love circumvents and is superior to any Jewish piece of shit piece of paper with a bunch of words on it and a bunch of goons in uniforms and badges to enforce it? So King David and all the Israelites, if the Hittites or the Philistines came over the mountain with a uniform on and a badge or a uniform for military service, they came over the hill. The Israelites were just supposed to put their swords down and go home. Can you picture that in the days of King David? You think they would have done that? Uh-oh, David, we can't fight the Philistines today. Look, they've got uniforms on. Oh, that one over there, he's in charge, and he's got a piece of paper that the Jews wrote that says they have a right to come in and rape our families and take our property. Oh, David, we're going to have to go home, put down our shields and our swords and go home because they've got us. They got uniforms, badges, and hunks of Jewish paper. Yeah, I guess they can have our homes and our wives and our kids. We're going to go have to put that serum in our arm now because, geez, David, we can't fight that. Look at them. They're dressed in the proper uniform. And they've got the authority of the kikes behind them. I mean, what are we supposed to do? That's how ridiculous we sound. You do know that, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So in his day at the Thessalonica, the believers were encouraging each other. That's what we're supposed to do today. We're family. Okay, this world is discouraging enough. We should not be discouraging within the family. In other words, we don't need any extra drama in our lives, okay? We're living in a soap opera, a Jewish-produced soap opera that's got enough drama for 10 lifetimes. We don't need to be creating drama amongst our family. These other verses are going to be telling you how you fight this thing, but the urge to put somebody down or be condescending, you got to get over that. We lift each other up. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech, okay, spoken words, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Now, again, we talk about a filter, and so many of our people have no filter on their mouth today whatsoever. What is Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 telling us? Let your speech be gracious. Do you need to get a dictionary out and look up the word gracious? Seasoned with salt. Now, wait a minute. How can words be seasoned with salt? Well, obviously, it's an idiomatic expression. What are we? Are we not called salt? What does salt do? Salt flavors and preserves. What do Yahweh's people do on this earth? We preserve his law and his ways. We are salt in a sick, dying world. We are light in a world of ignorance and apathy. So your words are to be gracious, seasoned with salt. In other words, preserving, uplifting, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. In other words, engage that filter. We've talked about that. Before the words come out of your mouth, in your brain, as you're forming those words, they go through a filter. Well, Dan, that's too much work. I just say whatever comes to my mouth. You know, sometimes they hurt my feelings. Somebody hurt my feelings, or they made me feel little, or they were. So what are you saying? You get to disobey God because your feelings got hurt? You got butt hurt? You got triggered? No. You engage your filter all the time. You get no pass because you're butt hurt or you're triggered or you're having a bad day. No. You don't get a pass. You're to engage that filter 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You never turn the filter off. If you do, shame on you. You will reap the whirlwind. Job chapter 4, verse 4. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling and you have made firm the feeble knees. What are the feeble knees? You ever see somebody terrified? Their knees knock. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have made firm the feeble or weak knees. Power of words, folks. Again, just like the bees, we take things for granted and we don't give it much consideration anymore, do we? The spoken word is a very, very powerful thing. It can be powerful in uplifting, or it can be powerful in tearing down. It all depends on the words used and how they're spoken. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken, that means a word spoken with the filter engaged, is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. In other words, precious, valuable. It's always our choice, folks, on how we use the words that we use. Proverbs 15, verse 23, to make an apt or appropriate answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good is it? In other words, a kind word, an apt or proper or appropriate word in its due time is a very good thing. Again, do you use the tools that Yahweh gave you? Just like all this technology we have today, they're all tools. They're all capable of doing great good or great harm. Your actions and your words are exactly the same thing. It's all based on motive. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Yahweh God, my rock and my redeemer. Now, you know, here again we get this, well, Dan, there's three, the triune God. You got the Holy Spirit, Yahshua, and Yahweh. Really? Okay, well, what do they always say about Jesus? Oh, he's my rock and my redeemer. That's funny. Psalms were written before Yahshua came. It's talking about Yahweh, our King, our Father, our Creator. He's all things. He didn't create something new. He came to this world and put on flesh for a purpose. He's always been our rock and our redeemer from day one. Exodus, where we find the Ten Commandments. Last time I looked, it says there's only one Elohim God. There's only one who is called Father, Savior, Rock, Redeemer, Judge, Lawgiver. One. Not multiple, and certainly not Yahshua. Yahshua was simply Yahweh putting on flesh and coming down here to fulfill his own law and to teach, because we're that silly. We're like little children. He had to come down here and show us, because we won't listen to the prophets. We won't listen to those who tell us. So he said, okay, I'll come down here and show you. But while I'm here, I'm also going to fulfill my law. We talked about that in other times. Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. One verse, it says, a mountain of good. There is one whose rash words. What are rash words? We just talked about it. People that say things without engaging the filter. What are rash words like? Sword thrusts. Can you imagine those big, long, sharp, double-edged swords that our ancestors carried? Because Proverbs is talking about those things, okay? Not spiritual. These are literal swords. Can you imagine that big hunk of metal, sharp as it is, with the blood groove down the middle, being thrust into your belly? Come on, stop for just a minute now. Picture that in your head. You're on a battlefield. Here comes an enemy soldier, and you're not prepared for it. You've dropped your sword, or your sword broke, or whatever the reason, but you're not prepared. And here comes an enemy soldier with that big, sharp sword. And he just plunged it into your belly. Can you imagine what that feels like? I can. That's painful. That is very painful. So when Proverbs or any scripture uses these images, the writer expects you to go to that place where in your mind you actually picture it, because it does no good if you're just saying the words. Rash, hastily spoken, non-appropriate words are like sword thrusts. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Once again, your words are a tool, powerful tool, just like affection between couples. A man and his wife or wives, whichever the case may be, there is power in that. But by the same token, if you alienate that affection, it does just the opposite. Instead of building up emotionally, spiritually, it tears down physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's why Scripture is very clear that you do not withhold your affections. Loving affections. To a wife, of course, that includes intimacy. To a brother, it would be brotherly love. But you don't withhold that. Just like in my family, I was blessed. The family I grew up with, I was blessed. I didn't know it at the time, but oh my God, was I blessed. The men and women of our family are huggers. And I've met people that you want to give them a hug and they jump back from you. There's power even in something as simple as a hug. Putting your arms around somebody and let them know that you care and you're trustworthy enough to be that close. Remember in the old days, people carried swords and daggers. Daggers are a long knife or a short sword. And when they get that close to you, they could plunge a dagger and take your life away. So allowing somebody to be within arm's length of you showed a lot of trust. So when you put your arms out, you're exposing your belly. See, again, people don't think about these things. We take everything for granted today. But in Yahweh's world, these things have meaning. And they have power to do good or to do harm. Trusting somebody and caring enough about them to hug them, to show and confirm that relationship versus alienation of affection, two opposites. One like a sword thrust, the other one like honey, healing, delightful. Proverbs 15, verse 4, a gentle or healing tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness or deceit in it breaks the spirit. Okay, so again, a gentle or healing tongue is, what are those words coming off that tongue? Gentle and healing, or perverse and deceitful, which breaks the spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Yahweh God in Yahshua forgave you. Remember, he didn't have to. Okay, you're the children. He's the Father. He's the Creator. You are the created. He has great authority over you, and yet he forgives us. He continues to love us, even though I'm sure, looking down on us right now, he's not very happy with us. I know I wouldn't be. If I was sitting in that throne, I'd be a very unhappy individual. I would be actually quite pissed off at the state of the world, and where the hell are the good men and women on this earth to allow this kind of garbage to go on? Why are there not traitors and pedophiles and those that I have condemned to death? Why are they not hanging in trees and from gallows? Why? Who convinced you to violate my law? Oh, a bunch of Jews? A bunch of satanic, wicked, communist Jews said that you don't have a right to do what I told you to do? So you have elevated the Jew above me? Is that what I'm hearing? Can you just picture Yahweh doing? I can. I'd be embarrassed to stand in front of that great white throne and have to give an accounting for what's going on down here right now. It would be embarrassing. You allowed this kind of hypocrisy and demon activity because a bunch of Jews told you you don't have the right to implement my law? A bunch of pansies behind pulpits told you that I love everybody? That I will violate my own law because a bunch of Jews say so? And you believe it? You should take that guy or gal behind that pulpit out into the churchyard and stone them for heresy. That's what should be done. Then after you get rid of the lying, perverse preachers and teachers, do just like they did in the days of Phinehas. Take up your swords and go find all of these pedophiles, kidnappers, rapists, murderers, and invaders. And do what I told you to do with them. You want to clean your land overnight? Then obey me. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, Yahweh's Spirit now, which means not everybody on earth, many people do not have this Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Whoa. Not too many zombies know about that one. Against such things, there is no law. You want to be right with the Father? Then show the fruits of his Spirit. Proverbs 18, starting at verse 20. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be full. The fruit, the reality, the results of a man's mouth. He will be full. The produce of his lips, again, words, will be his in full measure. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Are you listening? Death and life. Dichotomy here. Can go either way. Are in the power of the tongue, and those to whom it is dear or cherished or kept will have its fruit for their food. The results for those who keep it as Yahweh would intend you to have it. Proverbs 12, verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, But a good word makes him glad. Power in the word, folks. Power. Matthew 12, verse 36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every, again, the word, every careless word they speak. You don't think somebody's not keeping a tally on your actions and your words? Oh, yes, they are. I'm going to tell you, if corrupt man can build computer systems that literally capture every text, every phone call, everything going across the internet, every single piece of data is stored. And if you don't think so, you are a fool. So if evil men can accomplish this, you don't think the creator of this world can't keep track of every single thing? Yeah, you better believe he can. That's why, again, we take things so much for granted. We overlook so much and think that it will never come back on me. Oh, yes, it will. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is the following: love, joy, peace, patience. Boy, we need help with that one. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now, do you think the invaders coming into our land are filled with this kind of spirit? I don't see the evidence of it. Again, they are invaders. And your traitors in Washington, D.C., and your traitors at the state capitol are allowing these misfits and criminals to invade our land. Now, if you think that they have a right to do that, then you're a fool. No, they do not have a right to do that. They do not have a right to allow invaders to put yourself and your loved ones in jeopardy. Just because somebody holds a government position or is a public servant does not mean they're immune from God's law. Let that sink in. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Why is that? Because if you're hasty with your words, you are a fool. Again, engage the filter before you engage the mouth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Again, old saying when I was a boy, actions speak louder than words. That's how the Sunday school teacher and my mom and dad impressed upon us biblical teachings, little adages that we would hear, maybe not every single day, but I'll bet you we heard it at least three or four times a week. These little one-liners, actions speak louder than words. Let's put it this way. They said it often enough that I've carried those little one-liners my entire life. They come into my mind all the time. The words of my mother, my words of my father, the words of my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, and my teachers back then, they were honorable people, Sunday school teachers included. They taught Yahweh's truths back then. Actions speak louder than words. Simple, right? Yeah, most people don't get it. I'm going to look up something here real quick. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. A lot of people don't know what real love is all about. They really don't. Proverbs 19, verse 22, what is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar. Yeah, a lot of you ladies out there, you got all kind of liars that'll promise you all things, all kinds of things. I've noticed that when I was a young man, even in the Air Force, how many women would fall for the bullshit that was handed to them by the blacks and the browns? When I used to go out to the Airmen's Club or to the BX and all that, or even off base, go to some of the bars and the dance halls, etc., I was always amazed at how women would fall for the bullshit handed to them by a lying man. It was unbelievable. And not all of them were race mixers. There were plenty of white guys that were full of bullshit, too. But I used to marvel as I'd sit there with my buddies having a glass of beer or whatever, and just we would watch and we'd listen and we'd just marvel to ourselves at how gullible. Now, there are men who are gullible too, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about you ladies out there. You are really gullible. And especially today, it's unbelievable what you'll believe out of the mouths of these lying misfits. Because like it says here, what is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar. So you ladies are attracted to what? Six-figure incomes, fancy cars, big houses, luxurious items. Many of you are. But it's better to be with a man that doesn't have those things than a liar. Because most of these rich guys, that's what they are. We can't even get the simple things right these days. Ruth, chapter 3, verse 10, and he said, may you be blessed by Yahweh, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether rich or poor. Ruth was steadfast. Even her last kindness was even greater than her first. In other words, she didn't decline over a period of time. She didn't alienate affection. I've lived it. I can't tell you how many of those t-shirts I've got in my closet. I've lived it. I've seen it. Maybe that's why Yahweh put me through all the stuff I had to go through, so I would see the truth of these scriptures in real life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Yeshua HaMashiach. Immeasurable riches of his grace. Proverbs 11, verse 12, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Again, sometimes silence is the best answer. You don't always have to speak. You ever been around people that have to have the last word? No matter what the conversation's about, they've always done it more and done it better, and they always have to have the last words. I'm telling you, it is painful having conversations with people like that. It is painful because you can see right through them. And yet they're so self-absorbed, they don't understand just how arrogant and difficult they are to deal with. Walk a mile in another man's shoes. You ever hear that expression before? Walk in another man's shoes before you judge or speak or say or do anything. Proverbs 11, verse 17, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. Yeah, we don't even understand that one. Luke 6, verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. In other words, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? What's in your soul? What is your priority? What are the codes that you live by? Matthew 12, verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Okay, words are powerful, folks. Powerful. Joel chapter 2, verse 13, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to Yahweh your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Isaiah 54:10, and for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says Yahweh, who has compassion. We're going to find out about his compassion here very soon. Okay? The world wants you to think it's over. The world wants you to think, why do you believe in this unseen God? Where is he? Look what we've done. We've destroyed this earth. We've enslaved people. We drink children's blood, for crying out loud. We've murdered people. Where is your God? That's what the world wants you to think. But you got to remember, people have a choice at all times to partake in this world or to not. Many of our people partake because, what? There's a dollar bill in it. Uh-oh, money. The root of all evil is what? The love of money, the lust for money, the craving for money. That's how the Jew set his hook in you. Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in who? Government? Jews? Money? Power? Prestige? Sex? Drug? Oh, no. Who takes refuge in him? 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his presence continually. How many people do that? I bet you not very many. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word, or logos in the Greek, of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Colossians 3, starting at verse 12, put on then as Yahweh's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as Yahweh has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Is this talking about our invaders or the Jews who have subverted all? Is it talking about them? Hell no, it's not. It's talking about you and me, brothers and sisters, with the right DNA, the right computers, and the right software. We who carry his spirit. Not just DNA alone. No. those who carry the right DNA and the spirit of the Almighty. We are a family. We do these things with each other. We do not share these things with aliens, enemies, perverts, interlopers, liars, deceivers, murderers, rapists, kidnappers, traitors. No. If your church teaches you that you're doing service to God by forgiving those kind of people, you are woefully misguided. Proverbs 18, verse 7, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Proverbs 17, verse 22, a joyful heart is good medicine. Oh, really? But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Joyful, folks. Stop getting so absorbed in what's going on around us that you allow it to crush your bones and dry them up. No. Joyful. Be joyful. Be joyful in who you are, what you know, that Yahweh has put us upon this earth this long to learn what we have learned, to live through the experiences we've lived through. All things work to the good for those who love the Father and are called according to his purpose. You ever hear that before? Yeah, you should have. Zechariah 1:13, and Yahweh answered gracious and comforting words to the angel or messenger who talked with me. Angel means messenger. Angelos is the Greek word for messenger. Doesn't mean somebody with wings coming from on the other side of the firmament. It's a messenger. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares Yahweh, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Excuse me. Yeah, he creates evil, but not for us. Unless you want to step out of line. You would step out of line, could have some evil coming your way. Because he's going to hit you with a 2x4 and get your attention. Proverbs 18, verse 4, and the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Proverbs 10, verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of sense. James 3, verse 5, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. It's just another biblical way of saying words have power. And just like fire, you need to be careful how you use them, or you could set the woods on fire. Colossians 3, verse 8, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Romans 12, verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Yeah, you don't base what you do and say and how you act on what other people's behavior are. You are the example. You are his ambassador. Last but not least, Romans 10, verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord and believe in your heart that Yahweh raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, soter in the Greek, saved what? From physical harm here and now. Has nothing to do with the hereafter. Here and now. I know I'm running a little bit long, but I wanted to read Proverbs 31 as a tribute to our ladies out there. Now, some of you ladies don't deserve this tribute. I'll be honest, you don't. But this tribute goes out to the ladies that do get it, who have put aside egotism and envy and jealousy which so many of our ladies have to a huge extent. But to the ladies that get it, that realize, just like words, they have great power too. They have great power to make a man a king and a warrior, willing to sacrifice his life on the battlefield, fighting the dragons, or to destroy his will, to destroy his psyche, to where he doesn't even want to get out of bed in the morning. You have that kind of power, ladies. Just like words, it's all up to how you use it. What is the motive behind what you say and do? Proverbs 31 is the woman who fears Yahweh, because she, not just the woman that has the female equipment, just like a man that has the male equipment, he's not necessarily a man. He may be a male, but he's not a man. Because there's a lot more to what makes a man than just genitalia. Same thing applies to women. Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10, has to do with women who fear or reverence Yahweh. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens, the other ladies of the house. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong or healthy. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Let me stop here for a minute. For folks that live in a modern age where we just have no concepts of what it was in ancient times, lamps were fed by oil, processed oil, could be olive oil, could be any kind of oil. And lamps, if they were not full of oil, would burn out in the middle of the night, because usually there was one lamp kept lit in case in the middle of the night somebody had to do something, so you wouldn't stumble around and get hurt or hurt somebody else. So when it says her lamp does not go out at night, it means that she was careful enough to make sure the lamp was full of oil before retiring. In other words, she made sure all her chores were done. She didn't go to bed until her chores, the things that mattered, were done. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen, natural fiber, and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." Charm and deceitful. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears Yahweh is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Again, Proverbs 31:10 through 31. A godly or righteous or a woman of Yahweh, greatly to be praised and cherished as a precious stone, anything of value. So again, I know I went quite a ways over the usual hour here, but I pray that everybody was able to bear and stay with me on it. We need to take account of our actions and our words, ladies and gentlemen, especially at this time. The enemy's doing everything he can do to psychologically torture and cause disunity amongst the brethren. So now is the time for the family, for the household of Yahweh, for those of us who are family members, to look to ourselves, to lift each other up, to encourage, to give power and strength and support to one another, and not allow the enemy to take us down. The fight has just begun, folks, and it's going to heat up rapidly. Many things are going to happen in the near future. You have to be mentally and physically and spiritually prepared for almost anything. And that goes for good and bad, okay? The enemy wants you to think they've got all this all wrapped up and everything is evil from this point out. Really? No. You're going to see miraculous things both on the good and the bad side. So you have to be prepared for that mentally. You've got to be prepared. So that does not overcome you. You have to be the pillar in your house. You have to be the pillar in your circle of friends. You have to be a pillar in the local congregation. Yahweh's watching. He's keeping accounting. That's why he said, do you want to hear those words? Enter in, my good and faithful servant, or don't you? Do you trust that he's laying up treasure for you in the hereafter? You may not have it here. A lot of us are hand to mouth, week to week, especially now that the enemy Jew has stolen so much of our property and finances and savings and businesses. But there is a great turning that will happen very soon. In the meantime, we stay the course. That's our job. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for this opportunity to reach out to our brothers and sisters. We just pray that your words, your wisdom will reach the ears that are meant to hear it. We pray that those wise and succinct words will lift up our brothers and sisters who feel the ominous weight of what the enemy is doing. We just pray that these words would encourage and strengthen all of our family. We will be overcomers. We shall prevail, and we will see what you have in store for us, which will be amazing compared to what we see today. To that end, Father Yahweh, we ask that you would bless us, watch over us, forgive us our sins and stumblings, encourage us and guide us by your Holy Spirit to victory over this evil force that works upon this earth, that we would be true sons and daughters of the Most High, and that our men will finally become the warriors of righteousness that they were meant to be. Warriors who will put away evil from this world once and for all time. We ask, Father, that you walk with us and guide us. Protect us from our enemies. And we pray that your coming and your turning of this world be soon. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.